Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Happy Wednesday. I am your host with the most. I am the F4L icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, and we are all here today with a very special guest as we're awaiting him to make his journey over here to the F4L headquarters, which he's got a long ways to go. So we're going to wait for him to come in as we are lucky enough to have the firecracker that is the number one, the nightmare, Noah Tyndall, who is going to be joining us shortly from across the pond, as we like to say, from where I am. And this is his first podcast, and this is his first time here on the F4L headquarters. We're going to make him welcome here so he's, you know, nice and comfortable and stuff like that, like we like to have all of our guests feeling. Of course, he's our international guest, so as he is coming from across the pond, as I mentioned, which is old, remember old little Liverpool, which I'll talk a little bit more about. It is 7 a.m., ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys are doing well. On my end of the woods, anyway, it's 7. In his neck of the woods, it's noon. So they get some times going on, and it's our first of two big shows coming up. As we told, I have both my tea ready and my coffee ready, so I am ready to go. So it should be a lot of fun. And Noah is a young man who is into the MMA, is the youth MMA world, as well as he's done some football and American audience. You call it soccer. And he also does various other things. And he also does a lot of things to raise awareness for various different organizations and charities and so forth. And, you know, he's a very delightful young man, so we look forward to having him on and telling us more about, you know, what motivates him and gets him to do what he, you know, the things he does and how he prepares for his rings and so forth. And we've had some MMA fighters on here before and some youth fighters, and tomorrow we might have a couple on. So it should be interesting to hear about the different elements and what people bring and different training regimens that they do. And we're just winning momentarily. He has multiple things that he gets involved in and whatnot. Of course, also, if you guys haven't noticed, he has returned back to the icons of the F4L on our YouTube show. He debuted a little earlier than 2023, which is going to be part of. And I'd have to say he made a pretty smashing big return already. He is, by the way, available right now for download in the creations, in the creator suites over there in the WWE 2K22 game. So if you guys want to play as Noah, the Nightmare Tyndall, you can find him over there under the hashtag F4L, as he is one of our newest additions to the F4L as a worldwide brother. So should be very interesting and really cool to have him on. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to host someone who is across the pond from us. So momentarily, we're going to bear with them now. It's a bit of a jump to go from, you know, Liverpool to over here in the F4L headquarters, which is universal. So, just me momentarily find out what's here. Yeah. 1 second, folks. All right, folks, bear with me 1 second. I'm going to go call him. A little bit of a technical difficulty at the moment, but we'll get that straightened right out. One second, folks. We are getting things situated momentarily. All right, folks. Okay, folks, bear with me. We're getting things situated here. What's the blue one is, Michio? I'll get right with you. Good morning. Okay, folks, we're going to try something here differently. We're going to be, you're still on the record, so what we're going to do is, all right, one second, folks. One second, folks. Technical difficulties, what else is new? All right, folks, I'm going to do this the old-fashioned way, folks. We're going to do it a very different kind of a way here, folks. All right, so we're going to go like this. All right, here we go. Doing this dual thing. Hello. Excellent. Look at that. Technical difficulties do not keep professionals from doing what they're supposed to do. Well done. Jolly good. How are you this morning? Well, it's morning over here. It's like noontime over there, right? Excellent. Well, first and foremost, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, number one, the nightmare himself, Noah Tidal. Welcome to the show, buddy. Well, first and foremost, you could probably do a better job introducing yourself than I can. Why don't you go ahead and tell people who you are and all that fun stuff that maybe if they lived under a rock, they don't know who you are. Should have known that. Excellent. What makes you like the MMA? What do you like about the MMA? What intrigues you about it and stuff like that? Is it the competitive? Is it the training? What is it? Absolutely. It is, right? It is a good feeling. Now, what are you trained in, Noah? I know there's multiple things that are trained in MMA and stuff like that. What do you practice in? What are your arts? That's a pretty good mix. That's a pretty good mix indeed. Now, which of those styles you prefer the best? Is there one of those that you prefer more than the others or no? Yeah. Right. It is different, right? Yeah, you know what? I have to agree with you because you probably knew this, but I trained way back in the day. And for me, when I used to compete, I actually felt better getting a submission versus just getting a simple knockout. And I didn't get points back in those days. Didn't have points. But yeah, so that's I agree with that. That's good stuff. And you like the jiu-jitsu. Excellent. I saw one of your fights recently. You did a smashing good job, I'd say. And a bit of a mini octagon. That was kind of cool, huh? Yeah. Right? Yeah, I would have to say so. You know, I've been in pro wrestling for a long time, and we were big on the whole, you know, intros to music and stuff like that. And I often believe that it's, you know, the music that we use, it kind of speaks to the audience, tells people what they're in for. And when I originally heard it, I had to actually go through my Rolodex of people I know who I trained with over the years. And I've never heard someone use that song. But boy, I'll tell you, Tina Turner never sounded so good. And the more did it make sense, huh? Did you know it was Tina Turner? You're probably right. Now, yeah, I'd have to say the walkout was fantastic, and the music choice was spot on, and it was original, I got to say. I've never heard someone use it before, and it spoke well. What's that? Yeah, it has to be, right? It's because you're your own person, you know what I mean? Because if you act like everybody else, you wouldn't be yourself, right? It's hard to be, you wouldn't be number one if you're like everybody else. You're just one of the sheep. You know, you got to stand out. And I get that. That's awesome. I myself use my own various music. I fluctuated. My very first thing, well, way back when I used to compete in the, we used to call freestyle tournaments. Because when I competed, they didn't have MMA per se set up. It was all freestyle because you train with other people who did multiple things, cross-trained. And what I came out to was Unforgiven by Metallica. And then when I started pro wrestling, I used Unforgiven by Metallica again and then Unforgiven 2. So I used a lot of that. And then, of course, AC/DC, Shook Me All Night Long was another one I used. I became the maestro of the people because I'd put the gavel, which is a kendo stick, to the audience, and the crowd would sing various parts of the song. So as I was coming to the ring, I'd get the whole crowd, you know, jazzed up so they were ready to go. It was a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, you need the crowd, right? I love a crowd. Now, let me ask you this, because we've had people on the show before in various different things. And coming from, you know, I've done both, you know, I've done all kinds of martial art tournaments, wrestling things. I've played multiple sports and I've done pro wrestling and I've also done films too. For you, what does it mean for you to be in front of a large crowd? Do you feel comfortable in front of a large crowd? Do you get anxious in front of a large crowd? Or do you feel at home? That's a sign that you're meant for the business, my friend. That's exactly what you should be feeling. That's good. And it never gets old either. And the more louder the crowd, usually it keeps you in the business, in the sport even longer, right? So now, outside of the MMA, now, how did you stumble upon MMA? Because you were a football player back in the day, right? Oh. Okay. I sure. All right. You know, that's actually a lot of people going for the same thing. I got my grandmother, as we called her, me grandmother, because my grandmother was Irish. She saw that I had a lot of energy when I was four. So she got me involved in various martial arts starting at four. And, that helped me kind of stay grounded because all my energy that I had went to all of the sports. So I get that. And also, I get that. Yep. Now, when you're in a match, how do you prepare for a fight? Do you watch work about your opponent? Do you do research on who you're going to face? Or do you like going into a fight blinded? You don't know who you're going to fight and why? Do you know what I mean by that? I see. I got you. That's true too. Mhm. That's a great idea. That's a good strategy though. You have to have confidence, right? That's about confidence, right? Believing in oneself, that's important. So it's true, right? And that's important. That's a very important strategy. And you know, as far as the football thing and being in, you know, the aggression and stuff like that, I get that. Because, you know, football, we call it soccer over our neck of the woods, which I never understood. But I was taught how to play football by a guy who came from England. He was our soccer coach. So we grew up knowing it as football as well. But in, over here in the States, they call it soccer for some reason. And I tend to be a little bit more physical because I started training in MMA and did martial arts starting when I was four. And a variety of them, because I actually like learning various things and techniques, and I look at it as a strategy game. I like to look at all my opponents as strategic. We call it human chess. Trying to master how I'm going to beat my opponent and when and how and whatnot. That's not necessarily but that's also being confident too, because you know part of that is that, but it's also, you know, I like to figure out who I'm going to face and how I'm going to beat them. That's just me. Everyone has different styles, but I get that. That's a great idea. Now, Noah, you do a lot of outside. You like to do a lot of things to raise awareness for all kinds of other things. How did you get involved in those things? Yeah, that's a really cool thing, you know, because you know, it's one thing to just, you know, it's rare actually for a young man to actually have that kind of heart for other people. It's good to have, you know, it's good to have that kind of humbleness. You're willing to, you know, give up time and your efforts to raise awareness for those things. That kind of sets you apart from a lot of other people who are just, you know, going out there and, you know, number one for themselves. And, you know what? Everyone has different reasons why they do things. And it sounds to me like you do things for the right reasons, and that's a good thing. Excellent, excellent. So now, since you like UFC and stuff like that, do you have like your favorite fighters or whatever? Are there people you enjoy in the UFC? Do you watch the UFC? Obviously. Now, how about Conor McGregor? You like Conor McGregor? He's over there out of Ireland. Are you a big fan of Conor or no? Very, very charismatic, is he? But Paddy's actually pretty good, too. I know Paddy, too. Great. Paddy's a great guy, and he does a lot of the stuff to raise awareness for a lot of things, too. You're talking about Paddy the Paddy, right? Yeah, see, we're UFC guys. We get this. We get it. Maybe not everyone else in the world doesn't know who those awesome people are, but we do. We're cool. So, that's awesome. Yeah. You train with these guys? Okay. All right. Awesome. That's excellent. Do you have a favorite winning strategy? Like, do you prefer knockouts, or do you like getting points, or do you like stoppages or whatever, or you like submissions? Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Right. I get that. Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, because if it's over in 10 seconds, it's not that much fun, right? I've seen a lot of those, unfortunately. I know some guys in the UFC who, you know, one of the biggest things about, like, UFC is, you know, a lot of people will have this big hype about a big fight. And, you know, they have the pay-per-views and stuff, and people pay all this big money. And then it's like a one-second match. It's over in like the first 20 seconds into the first round. You're like, oh, that was nice. And then you're like, what? You know, I agree with you. That's annoying. That's annoying for a lot of people. I'm sorry? Yeah, right? And that's happened a lot. I've seen that many times. It's quite annoying. Especially when it has a lot of hype behind it. Like, you know, you have these two really great fighters, and then it comes down to the big main event, and everyone's waiting to see it. And it's over, like, first 2 seconds. It's like a boxing match. We have that over here, too. And, you know, whenever you have a boxing match that ends like that, it's just as obnoxious. But, yeah, kind of like that. Kind of like that, yeah. Conor McGregor ended it really, really quick. Or, I don't know if you've ever seen Brock Lesnar. You ever seen him out of the U.S.? Brock, he's not a lot of fun. Well, not a lot. It depends on how you look at it. But Brock Lesnar was an individual who ended quick, wanted to end things quick. So he would pounce and pound, and that was pretty much over within the first few seconds if you need be. But that got old after a while. And you know what happens, though, with that? And what happens is also people start to get ready for it. They know what's coming. So then you got guys like Cain Velasquez, who when Brock Lesnar tried that with him, it didn't work because Cain Velasquez is almost as similar. I'll tell you, though, I was really upset about the whole – do you remember the whole boxing match between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor? I was not overly fond of that one at all. I didn't think it was fair, and I wasn't happy about it. And I don't know how you felt about it. Did you watch the fight? And what did you? Right. Because I don't know what they were supposed to prove. I mean. They come from different backgrounds. They're not, you know, Conor McGregor is a, you know, can, Yeah, he might have some strong right hands, but he's known for his MMA. He's known for his kicking and all that. And his submission sometimes. Yeah, that's about it. Actually, Floyd Mayweather is known for his boxing and right, and he uses an old technique that is, you know, as old as it is, and I don't understand how, I don't know, it's just me. Maybe I wasn't in the ring with him, so I guess that's where that comes into play. It's easier for us. We weren't there. Right. Because I'll tell you, Floyd Mayweather is a guy who likes to dance around the ring and wanted to get Conor McGregor tired out, which is, I think, what his strategy was. Seemed to have worked. It is, because then Floyd Mayweather doesn't have that advantage. I mean, then Floyd Mayweather doesn't have that advantage. That's not his world. I thought it was kind of bogus that they had such a thing. I said, if you're going to have, you know, a thing, make it, don't do a UFC and don't do it a boxing thing. Make it a mixed thing. Because, that happens in MMA all the time, in the UFC and everything else. There's been great... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he thinks he can. Yeah, exactly. Would you fight? Right. Would you fight? Would you fight Paul if you could and you were old enough? Would you fight Jake Paul or Logan Paul? I think you would too. In fact, we might have to find that out, because I do have a way to do that. Anyway, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm not overly fond of Logan Paul or Jake Paul or any of those people who talk about a big game, so to speak. It was like just before the pandemic hit, I was actually supposed to have a UFC fight. It was supposed to be a exhibition. You know what an exhibition is, right? Wasn't going to mean anything. It was just kind of like a bonus fight. The reason it was is because a certain pop singer from Canada, had been shooting his mouth off and talking all kinds of, you know, talking like he was tough, and called out Tom Cruise. You know who actor Tom Cruise is? So I, in response, you know, because my background in wrestling and so forth, and also being trained and whatever, and also friends with some guys who are also in martial arts and UFC and whatnot, Dana White contacted me and asked me if I would legitimately think about fighting that particular singer. And I said, oh, absolutely. Let me know where and when. I'm there. because I don't talk the talk. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And I don't believe in making a challenge and then not doing it. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Or talking. Yeah, exactly. And we had everything set up. And of course, you know, the pandemic hit. So that didn't happen, that fight. And then after the fight, pandemic lifted, then the person was like, oh, well, you know, because when you do the UFC, you have to go through a number of things. Oh, I got some feedback going on over here. Sorry about that. Weirdness. Okay, cool. We got our guys going on over here. We're good. All right, cool. One second. Bear with me, Noah. One second here. Got some feedback going on over here. There we go. All right, that's better. Can you hear me now? Weird. All right, cool. Yeah, he called out Tom Cruise, and when Tom Cruise said that he would think about it, that's when he backed out of that fight. So that's when Dana White said he's been, you know, that player really wanted to fight someone and whatever, and if I would definitely face him. And I said, absolutely. And needless to say, pandemic hit, and it got canceled, and then or postponed. And then when it came time for it, what they do is they have, before you go through it, they have to check up both camps to make sure both fighters are legit. So his camp was saying, oh, yeah, he's ready. And then when they check up my camper, they said, "Oh yeah, he's got the he's definitely ready to go, and he's you know he's there." That's when all of a sudden the you know the singer started saying, "Well, oh wait a minute, I might have to do a concert tour," and then it was like one excuse after another, and then it was game over from there because it was clear that this dude didn't want to fight, and I was annoyed because I was ready to go, I was trained and everything else, but. That would have been my, like, first time, you know, competing in martial arts or freestyle in, like, a long time. Because I gave up a lot of that to go into pro wrestling. So, you know, that's why I gave it all up to do that. But, I'm sorry, one second. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, yeah. One second here. Yeah. Sorry about that. My headset's giving me a hard time. All right. What is going on here? Craziness. All right, so I am trained in multiple forms of martial arts. I trained in Kenpo. Hold on. I don't know what's going on over there. This is weird. One second here. All right. Bear with me, Noah. Sorry. My thing wants to be obnoxious right now. All right. You know what? We're going to do this.